relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today. I'm Sebastian Gorka, and this is America First with our very special guest host, the voice of Dallas, Mark Davis.
Thank you, Doc. Appreciate it very, very much. And it is the second hour here on Second Amendment Friday. And we want to make sure that you know about our friends at Carr Firearms, K-A-H-R, Carr Firearms, fighting for America. Carr executives were at the D.C. rallies. They are willing to put their brand's reputation on the line to stand up for liberty. Please support our new Second Amendment Friday sponsor, Carr, K-A-H-R, Carr Firearms. And we have a wonderful guest on your favorite Second Amendment passion type subject coming up later on this very hour. Between now and then, though, more opportunities for you and me to sort of sling hot topics together. And that phone number again is 833-33-GORKA. 833-33-GORKA. We've talked a lot about race and politics. Boy, no kidding, as people do many days and many weeks. But we're at a kind of an interesting, not a tipping point, but an educational opportunity. Because whereas, I mean, I'm 63 years old, I've been talking about race and politics often at the same time my entire life. But as I've watched our country grow more enlightened and more enlightened and more enlightened, we're at a point where, you know, I've often said that racism has been completely excised from our system of laws, except for affirmative action. But does that mean we've gotten rid of racism? Of course not. Can you still find the occasional racist person? Yes, you can. And sometimes that person is quite liberal, calling Tim Scott Uncle Tim is stone cold racism. So defining the term is tough. I've offered one up for your consideration. To think less of someone or to mistreat someone because of what color they are. Boom, there you go. No charge. And so as we take a look at this and other things from the week gone by, the Biden address, obviously, it was, as many have said, both boring and radical at the same time. But you better stay awake. You better stay awake as these people come for our liberties, come for our guns, come for our constitutional set of values. It is under attack in a way that has led me to say that this is today the technical 100th day, worst first 100 days of my lifetime. All right, number of other things I have to bring up. Let's take some folks on the phone, and that is at 833-33-GORKA, 833-33-GORKA. We are in Ohio. Line number is 3. David, hi. Mark Davis in for Seb. Welcome to America First. How are you?
Hey, good. How's it going, Mark Davis?
Good, thanks.
I just have a point to make and a question to ask you.
Sure.
All right. So I heard a woman call in recently talking on slavery, and she was sort of comparing how the rest of the world had participated in slavery. And so it's not that bad that America did slavery.
Oh, no. Okay, careful. Let's not put words in anybody's mouth. Her point was, I sense, as many do, that people focus a lot on American slavery, which we should, but a lot of people think like we're the only people that had it. It was somehow a uniquely American evil when obviously throughout human history, and even as recently as the mid-19th century, slavery was common all over the globe. It wasn't a sin that was uniquely ours. You could find it rampantly around the globe. That's what she said. Not that it wasn't so bad, or she didn't seek to minimize it. Continue.
Well, I would think that to compare American slavery, well, she did use a comparison, of American slavery to Roman slavery, and I would have to disagree completely with that comparison.
Okay, let's have another pause, because I heard no comparison whatsoever. It was more a sense of an observation about context, that slavery has been part of the human underbelly of behavior almost throughout human history. Only recently have we come to a global understanding that slavery is always wrong and have lived by that. I did not at any point hear her go, ancient Romans versus Mississippi in 1852. Let's compare those. I did not hear that from her at all. Maybe sometimes we hear what we wish to hear.
Okay. Well, maybe just, okay, a question to ask then is that I'll agree with you with that. Our country participated in a great sin of chattel slavery, one that I would argue is greater, because in the Bible, we do weigh sins as greater and lesser. I would weigh that our sins of American slavery are greater than that of Rome, which is why Paul is not quick to condemn or condone slavery. But our sins are greater, I would argue. Now, if that is true, and if you take that as true, then is there a residue that is left over in our country of that great sin in our country that we need to face and comes to terms with?
This is the question of the moment. I'll give you a minute or so and then hand the ball back to you. Thank you for a very thoughtful question. Keep them right there. I'm not done. Chattel slavery, okay. The term for those unfamiliar, is where the enslaved person is pretty well legally rendered the personal property of the slave owner. That's the meaning of chattel slavery. That has not been the case of all slavery throughout history. The gentleman seeks to say that's among the worst kinds. I suppose that there is an extra stigma to that when a human being becomes personal property. By and large, I think it's not the most productive thing in the world to take a look at 15 different examples of slavery and say, hey, let's rank them. Which ones are, in which cases were the slaves better off than maybe over here? So it's probably not an exercise I have much interest in, and that doesn't mean I dismiss the observation that you made. So let's go to the second part. To what degree, since as recently as our own Civil War, we absolutely practiced chattel slavery, how much of that has tentacles that last into the modern day? Let me give you a real short answer, and then give me yours, and we'll compare and contrast. No one should ever forget that slavery happened. It informs the progeny, the legacy of millions of Americans. Does it define people's lives today? It better not. I think that's enormously counterproductive. Are people who never owned slaves somehow responsible for offering up huge cash payments to people who never were slaves? That is a hard no. Reparations is an insane idea. Now, to finish up, are there ways in which the stain of slavery through Jim Crow, through the pre-Civil Rights Act America, 1964, then 65. I mean, have we fixed everything? No. Have we made amazing progress? Yes. The most useful thing to me is to remain appreciative historically of slavery, but to continue to drag it around and through garbage like the 1619 Project and define our entire existence, our entire country, through that lens is enormously unhelpful. Let me stop talking. You go. What do you think?
Okay, well, I think we'll find some agreement here is that I think that 1619 Project is full of lies. I think the ripple effects, this ripple effect of sin in our country is sort of hidden behind the scenes that a lot of the people who raise the flag of institutional racism can't see. Because
like what? What's an example? What's an example of which in 2021 would be what?
The welfare state.
Okay. Meaning?
Like LBJ was ardently racist and put on, basically institutionalized the welfare state, and his intentions were behind it were extremely racist. And I would say that that is a ripple effect on the black community.
What was LBJ's racist intent in the Great Society? What racist thing did he seek to achieve?
To remove or break apart the household within the black community.
With tons of white people on welfare as well, did he intend to break up those households as well?
It's almost like two for one. If you can do that as well,
a bonus plan.
You can get people indebted to the Democratic Party.
Since I can't read minds of somebody who's here on the planet with me, I certainly can't read the minds of people who were president, long ago and who have since passed. And I'm not an enormous fan and defender of LBJ. I think it is possible to overanalyze things and to place motives in people that look good through our lens. There is absolutely no doubt that expansionist, collectivist government and an out-of-control welfare state getting government into what Dr. Walter Williams called the benevolence industries has absolutely torn apart the black family and the families of anybody of any color who become too dependent. The notion that LBJ sat here in my state of Texas and then in the White House after ascending to the White House after JFK was killed and thought to himself, I got a good idea. I'm going to come up with something that under the guise of kindness and civil rights atonement will actually destroy the black family. And I want the black family to be destroyed. I can't go there with you. So that's what I would say. Anyway, I can't say that he never had that thought, but we project a lot of things onto people sometimes. And all right, let me project you into this break and come back out the other side. Mark Davis in for Seb Gorka on America First.
Let there be no doubt, big tech and the far left have joined forces to purge America of conservative views. So why exactly are we choosing to give these big tech companies all of our personal data? The battle lines have been drawn. Big tech has made it clear which side they're on. Now is the time to take a stance. Protect your personal data from big tech with the VPN I trust for my online protection, ExpressVPN. See every device, whether you're on the phone, laptop, or on TV, has a unique string of numbers called an IP address. When you search for stuff, watch videos, or even click a link, big tech companies can use that IP address to track all your activity and tie it back to you. When I use ExpressVPN, my connection gets rerouted through their secure encrypted service, so these companies can't see my IP address at all. My internet activity becomes anonymized, and my network data is encrypted. And the best part is, you don't need to be tech savvy at all to use ExpressVPN. Just download the app on your phone or computer, tap one button, and you're protected. So stop handing over your data to big tech companies whose aim is to censor you and spy on you. Defend your rights and protect your internet activity with the VPN I use every day. Visit expressvpn.com/GORKA. That's expressvpn.com/GORKA to get 3 extra months free. Go now to expressvpn.com/Gorka and learn more.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
Every day, all day, even on the days when Dr. Gorka is away. But that's just one more day today. He is back on Monday. I'm Mark Davis, filling in here from the lovely confines of 660 AM The Answer in Dallas-Fort Worth, where I am the always busy and happy morning host. Knocked down the morning show this very morning and talked to a bunch of people about a bunch of things, and that has kind of filled my head with a lot of things to bring you today. So a lot of things about race and Tim Scott and the Uncle Tim hashtag in 2024 and guns. Real quick, banning menthol cigarettes. What even is that? The Biden administration says, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll ban menthol cigarettes. And the logic, keep the car on the road. And the logic is because black people smoke them. Now, first of all, we can't even identify supposedly what changed where we used to be able to not even say that certain ethnicities preferred certain things, even if it was demonstrably true. I remember probably 30 years ago, Magic Johnson was setting up a network of movie theaters in Southern California, mostly in sort of inner city neighborhoods, which is awesome and what makes him a great entrepreneur. And he said, better stock those theaters with lots of, you know, strawberry soda and lots of fruity drinks because black folk love them. And the world, the earth nearly spun out of its orbit when he said that. And the first thing that occurred to me was, is it true? And apparently it is. And so the controversy kind of went away and those theaters did well, selling an enormous percentage of stuff people actually wanted. Now, on the menthol cigarette beat, people say, well, the cigarette companies heavily market menthol cigarettes to black people. Well, so did the evil cigarette companies make black people like Kools or the Newport menthols, or did they already kind of like them? And the cigarette company said, hey, let's pitch into the communities where we are already popular and get even more popular. That's kind of what advertising does. But the reason I mention this is first of all, it seems racist to on a day where we're talking a lot about what is and what is not racist, banning menthol cigarettes and saying, well, it's we're doing it because black people smoke them, seems both racist and paternalistic at the same time. So I silly me. OK, first of all, my basic position on all of this is nobody should smoke anything. Couldn't be simpler. No one should smoke anything. Stop smoking cigarettes, put away the stupid vapes, just it's all poison. Stop it. But not everybody takes my advice on that. Grown-ups are going to smoke. And if they are, and if it's legal, can we leave them alone, please? Even with the stupid vapes. Everybody said, we'll go after the flavored vapes. No, just sell stuff. Keep it away from kids as best you can. And then people say, well, they're targeting it towards kids. What? They used to say this about cigarettes with Joe Camel, right? Well, Joe Camel means they're marketing to kids. No, it doesn't. There are all kinds of, you know, especially these days, lots of people in their 20s and 30s just absolutely love cartoons and animated stuff. Probably have a certain soft spot for it, even still myself. But the notion that Joe Camel meant that they were pitching cigarettes to kids, this is a couple of vintage campaigns, but we used to have Snoopy doing MetLife commercials, right? We had Garfield doing Embassy Suites. Remember that? Does that mean we're trying to get kids to buy life insurance in hotel rooms? I don't think so. So anyway, the whole menthol cigarette thing, pardon me, didn't mean to go off on a crazy rant there. It's just an odd signpost along the path of where we are. You know, you used to not be able to say, you know, I'm not going to mention certain food groups that are just enormous. Well, you know what? Honestly, I'll do it. I've started this. Fried chicken and watermelon. You know, other than the menthol cigarettes, I essentially am black dietarily, you know. So if indeed there are proclivities and who was it? Was it Fuzzy Zeller got in trouble about the food at the Masters or something after? And Tiger is like 27 races at the same time or so, he'll tell you. And it was like, well, you know, if Tiger's, you know, we need to do stuff for Tiger, so we're going to have a lot of fried chicken on the menu. And he got into an enormous amount of trouble because it was supposedly very stereotypical. Well, here's a truth about, here's a basic element of stereotype. What lies at the root of all stereotype? Some degree of accuracy. Some Italian people are in the mafia, okay? Pardon me for the easy example there. So the only reason I bring this up is what used to be very taboo and you couldn't even say these things. Now you have the government basing policy on it. And you know who else seems to be on board? As some actual civil rights organizations. Like, well, we're you know, menthol cigarettes are killing black people. We need more black people, so let's ban the menthol cigarettes. What? How about not banning any of these things and just telling all the black people to stop smoking menthol cigarettes, then tell all the white people to stop smoking menthol cigarettes, then tell all the Hispanics and the blacks and the Asians and the white people to stop smoking cigarettes of all kinds? Then we have something that that approaches reason. There. Well, I feel better. Let us roll to Las Vegas on line four. Frank, hey, Mark Davis in for Dr. Gorka. Welcome. How are you?
Oh, I'm the Mojave summer has kicked in officially. I think we're like 95 right now.
Yeah, good. Well, bless your heart.
Mark, are you able to you know, after the show or sometime, are you able to get a message to Sebastian at all? Or do
I tell you what, I am through my headphones, as everybody who works with him every single day. So share what you'd like that to be, and they'll scribble it down.
I just I'm keeping my word to him. I promised when I called, I would never refer to him as a bloody limey again. And then, you know, just, I just wanted that I didn't call him on that.
That is good. I
do hope he hears this statement of fact that I'm about to make. And I definitely want your comment, and I'm going to hang up after I make this.
Back yourself up.
Yes. Well,
go for it.
As long as these rhinos, comma, demon rats, comma, this infirm, illegitimate criminal regime stay in office, we are a conquered people. Internalize it. Mark, God bless. Thank you for your time, buddy.
My pleasure. Thank you. Seems a little dark. I don't feel conquered. I feel challenged. We are in danger of conquest if we don't fight. We're in danger of losing the country as we've come to understand it if we don't fight. And the good news is the avenues of fighting are open to us every day. And the first turnstile, the first battle, is next year. And I don't necessarily even mean election day, November of 2022. Here we are about to start the month of May. I know, how crazy is that? It's May tomorrow. Jeez. But there are primaries here in my state of Texas. We have primaries on the 1st of March. Whatever state you're in, probably somewhere scattered, atomized throughout the spring, there are primaries. The reason I mention that is while the election of 2022 should very well win us back the House of Representatives, and if we are playing hard and playing smart, might very well win us back the Senate. The pathway there goes through the primaries, because we want Republicans to win, but that's an incomplete answer. It has to be the right kind of Republican. And that's where in the primaries, you find the most conservative candidates you can who can win. It's an old Bill Buckley standard. The most conservative candidate that can win. Mark Davison for Seb. Be right back.
Relief Factor. Have you tried every other form of pain relief only to fail and not find your answer? Well, try this incredible product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans across the country, including Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during this coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That could be you. It should be you. Find out today the only way you can by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. Call them at 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose except the pain? Do it today. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. Welcome back to America First with Mark Davis.
Thank you, Dr. G. Appreciate it. Mark Davis joining you from 660 AM The Answer, Dallas-Fort Worth, where I am the morning host. So I've done me one talk show today. Might as well do another one. And what a joy it is for it to be this one, especially on Friday, which is on America First. What is it? Say it with me. Second Amendment Friday. That's right. Second hour. Second Amendment Friday. This is not a drill. And in fact, coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk to one of my favorite 2A related guests, John Lott. We're going to talk about it. How will we know when they're really starting to come get our guns. And I got some thoughts about that. Helping us to bring you those thoughts, our friends at Carr Firearms, fighting for America. Carr Firearms executives were at the D.C. rallies. They are willing to put their brand's reputation on the line to stand up for liberty. So please support our new Second Amendment Friday sponsor, Carr, K-A-H-R, Carr Firearms. And John Lott with us very next segment. In the meantime, though, you know who else is with us is you. They're at the phone number of 833-33-GORKA, 833-33-GORKA, 833-334-6752. We're in Cleveland. Hey, Jeff, line one, Mark Davison for Seb. How are you?
Good, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. It really bothers me that we're so reliant on our election system after what happened in the last election with the presidency. I don't know about you, but I, as a Trump supporter, am certain that the election was stolen. There's no every day and everything I see about Biden and the reaction to him. I mean, how many people watched him on TV? I don't believe for one second that Biden won the election. So why are we so ready to assume that our elections will be legitimate so that we can anticipate winning the House or the Senate in the coming midterm elections when we're not doing anything to investigate what happened?
Here's the thing. Dwelling on what's in the rearview mirror, maybe only we need to understand and recognize that constitutional norms were shattered, that procedures were laid waste, and it rendered a result in 2020 that was highly suspect and impossible to embrace, as, well, at least for me and apparently for you, as being as reliable as we'd like our elections to be. Now, so having said that, we then direct all of our energies forward in order to do things like they're doing in the very hotly covered state of Georgia, where the Georgia Republican Party and the legislature are enacting various things. You're seeing all kinds of things from Georgia, my state of Texas, state of Florida, to make voting more reliable, to make voting as easy as it should be, but to make cheating hard. And along the lines of exactly what you're talking about, you are right. We need to be really vigilant. We can't rest on our laurels and go, hey, we're going to win the House in 2022, blah, blah, blah. Well, we'd better make doggone sure that we have armies of attorneys at the ready, armies of watchers at the ready, and that's all for November of next year. Between now and then, we got to have a lot of on-the-ground initiatives to make sure that legislatures, especially as the COVID issue starts to wane, and please let it wane more quickly, so that we don't have other COVID-related sacrifices of election law norms so that they can do this to us again. Your suspicion, your cynicism is 100% correct. I'm going to have faith in some states to do things about this, and I'll be ever vigilant about it to make sure that they do. Jeff, thanks. Appreciate it very, very much. We are in New York on line four. Patty. Hey, Mark Davis in for Dr. Gorka. How are you doing?
Okay, fine. You know, Mark, the Democrat Party is the racist party. I want to see Republicans out there every day, a press conference, calling Democrats racist, what they did to Senator Tim Scott, South Carolina. I want to see that. Name calling works.
No, when it's accurate. And you know what? I've seen a bunch of that today. It has been identified as absolute virulent racism, the way they treat. And in fact, it's gone a step further. Not only has the observation been made that what the left said about Uncle Tim is racist, but it's also very telling that the top name Democrats won't distance from it, that they won't call it out for this party that is supposed to be so sensitive about racism, seems willfully blind about it when they themselves are the practitioners. Thank you, man. Appreciate it, Patty. Best to everybody in New York. Telephone number again, 833-33-GORKA, 833-33-GORKA. We're going to talk to John Lott about some sweet gun issues coming up in our very next segment. And then I think I want to do this. I'm going to add, we'll have several topical layers. We can walk and chew gum and spin several plates at the same time. What if I were to tell you in California, I got good news, bad news about a certain candidate? The candidate seems to have a lot of conservatism, but the candidate seems to be really, really confused about gender. Well, that has happened. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Caitlyn Jenner gubernatorial candidacy. And I've got a couple of things I want to share with you about it. And maybe you got some stuff to share back. But John Lott on the Second Amendment next on America First. Mark Davison for Seb.
You know I love MyPillow and how it literally changed my life. It's the pillow that won't go flat. You can wash it and dry it as many times as you want, and it'll keep its shape. And it's made in the USA. Now, for a limited time, Mike Lindell is offering his premium MyPillows for his lowest price ever. You can get a standard queen premium MyPillow for just $29.98. That's originally $69.98, $40 of savings. And kings are only $5 more. That's the lowest price ever. Just $29.98 for the standard queen premium. And all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code G-O-R-K-A. You'll find the most amazing offers and deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and the MyPillow Towel Sets. Call 800-829-8468. Use promo code G-O-R-K-A, MyPillow.com.
This is Second Amendment Friday on America First, brought to you by Carr Firearms.
And speaking of those good people, complacency is a weakness that patriots cannot afford. And for that reason, our friends at Carr Firearms is teaming up with this show, America First, this year in 2021, because Carr Firearms believes Americans should not be afraid to publicly appeal for our freedoms. This is about more than just being gun enthusiasts. This has become a very personal battle, fighting for the soul of America. And at Carr Firearms, they want America First listeners to know that they are not afraid to publicly support Second Amendment Friday. I just get the chills and the joy of being here to host on this particular occasion, and especially when you throw in a guest on this wonderful subject. It's a guy I've spoken to on a bunch of local shows that I've done, author of More Guns, Less Crime, and a bunch of other books on a bunch of other great topics. It's our friend John Lott. Welcome, sir. How you doing?
Doing great. Good to talk to you again.
You know, it is wonderful to have you, and I've been a fan for a long time. Help me out. We're all older than we think they are. We are. More Guns, Less Crime. Is that a 20-year-old book?
It's a little bit over 20 years.
The first edition
came out in 1998. The third edition, though, came out in 2010. So,
well, I am just so proud. I remember reading it, and it was life-changing. It gave me—I was always able to—I mean, I have a brain stem, and I know why the Second Amendment's important, blah, blah, blah. But you put it so conversationally and so effectively, and you've spent the ensuing decades doing so. Let's dive in. Everybody walks around saying, for example, Biden, he's totally coming to get our guns. Well, we're not going to have a knock on the door tonight, one presumes. But what will be the warning signs that they're starting around the periphery to offer up some policies that you and I both know are the inexorable steps toward infringing on our Second Amendment rights?
Well, there are things that he can do that maybe most people won't even notice are happening, and other things that would require legislation that may get more noise but will have a devastating impact. But, you know, on things that people may not even notice is you may remember something called Operation Choke Point during the Obama administration, where they would go and pick, you know, certain industries or firms that the administration didn't like, legal companies producing legal products, and put pressure on financial institutions not to do business with them. I mean, you can imagine running a company if you can't find somebody to handle the credit cards for your customers or handle your checking account or other things. You just go out of business. Trump ended that policy that got started at the end of the Obama administration, and he was in the process of putting in regulations that would prevent the federal government from discriminating against legal companies producing a legal product. But unfortunately, those rules weren't finally out the door when he left office. In February, the federal government was supposed to publish in the Federal Register the final rules, and the Biden administration pulled it. So they'll be able to go back and target companies and make it very costly and difficult for them to operate. There are other things that they can do, like limits on importations of guns and ammunition. I mean, you think it's difficult now after the huge increase in gun sales that we've had over the last year to go and buy guns or ammunition. Wait to see what happens if you eliminate 20% of the supply of guns, for example, in the country. Other things that he's been doing through executive action are using the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms to redefine what a gun is. This is part of his stuff about ghost guns. But
gotcha.
As in the, you know, best tradition of government, at least the leak rules that they're putting out are that they'll let you know when they see it, whether it's a gun or not, rather than giving you kind of bright line rules.
Exactly. Kind of like, I won't tell you. I won't tell you what a gun is, but I'll tell you if you show me one. John Lott is here. Let's talk about something in the news. Supreme Court showdown. There's for the first time in like more than a decade, the Supreme Court will review a Second Amendment case. It's out of New York. It enables you to carry a gun outside the home with a permit. But I understand the point is that the permit is ridiculously hard to get.
Right. Well, you know, there are 43 so-called right to carry or constitutional carry states, where once you've met certain objective rules, you know, you pay a fee in right to carry states, you do your training, you get the background check done, and you're a certain age, you can carry. But then there's seven may issue states, and New York and California are among those, where you not only have to meet those requirements, but then you have to prove to somebody that you have a good reason for being able to go and have a gun for protection. And the thing is, they're very restrictive. I mean, you only see, you know, a few tenths of 1% of the population, adult population in those states getting permits. And, you know, you compare that to about 9.5% of the adult population in those other 43 states that have a permit. And it's not only that, you also affect the type of person who gets it. So in these states where you go to some Democratic politician and you try to explain why you need to have a gun for protection, they seem to really only give it out to wealthy white males who are politically connected. I mean, they claim that they care about women, that they care about minorities, but for some reason they don't seem to think that women and minorities usually have good reasons to go and give. So,
gotcha. Oh, my. The reasons to exercise your basic rights. Oh, my. All right, about a minute and a half left. Let's compare and contrast my own state of Texas, where it would seem that we'd be one of the roughly 20 states that has it already. Constitutional carry, meaning, hey, you don't need a permit for your First Amendment rights, nor do you need them for your Second Amendment rights. Most of your Second Amendment people love it. I even have some law enforcement guys, John, who tell me they're a little squirrely about it because they're so imbued with the notion of training and being careful and proficient. They are concerned about a bunch of unpermitted people out there in the land. I remind them that every scare tactic from concealed carry to everything else, exactly. They said, oh, we're going to have dead bodies in the streets. Not one of them has worked out to be the case.
Right. Well, I mean, there was a number of law enforcement originally when Texas passed concealed carry, went into effect in 96, who had the similar concerns about that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't borne out. You know, and they can just go and talk to law enforcement in other states. Look, there are two big changes that constitutional carry will bring.
You've got about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
How quickly somebody can get it and the cost of getting it. So right now, if a woman's being stalked in Texas, after she's gone through the different paperwork requirements, she'll have to wait 60 days or so.
Yeah.
In a number of states last year, permitting processes were shut down completely. Stalking threat may be gone by then. It may have already taken place.
Indeed. Well, I'm so grateful to you. Follow John Lott on Twitter at John R. Lott, L-O-T-T, Jr., and go get every book he ever wrote. You'll be well served. Mark Davis in the Car Firearms Second Amendment segment here on America First.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Car Firearms.
Well, when the voiceover guy is that good, you know we're not kidding around on the Second Amendment stuff. Mark Davis in for Dr. Gorka. He's back on Monday. And we're back for our third and final hour here right after the top of the hour news on whatever fine Gorka affiliate you are listening on. Let's just try to wedge somebody in here before the end of the hour. And then I've got some stuff to bring up to just enter a topical free-for-all. It should be delicious in the final hour. And let us roll to Ohio online to Tom Hay, Mark Davis in for Dr. Gorka on America First. How you doing?
Did you say Tom from Ohio?
I did, and that's you, and I'm excited. Oh. How are you?
Okay. Oh, good. So am I. I heard an earlier caller on your show. Can I ask a question about your John Lott? Is he sure. from Missoula, Montana?
Missoula, Montana. I don't know. Why does he sound familiar? Is it a familiar name from your youth or something?
No, there was a guy that was involved in the election in Missoula, Montana, named John Lott. I wondered if it was the same guy.
I'm going to go His background is sort of University of Chicago. I'm going to take a look here and see. I don't know where he grew up. So I'll go no on the Big Sky Country. So proceed.
Okay. Well, I was just hoping that was true because there was, in that person's county, there was some voter fraud, and I was hoping it was
There you are. But wait a minute. Voter fraud. Voter fraud's a myth. That doesn't really happen. That's impossible. All the smart kids say that doesn't even really happen. How can that be?
Well, sometimes when I say that to a talk show host, they hang up on me because they don't want to hear the word.
Well, you're still here. You're still here for at least another minute. So time is short, so hop on in. Make it count.
Okay. Do you follow what any of the, I heard you tell that other guy that I'm totally we have to work on election integrity for next November.
Yep.
And it's my opinion, you got to look at what happened last November and fix those problems or we're going to have the same
Stuff
next November.
When I talked about looking in the rearview mirror, I said, let's not harp. Let's not dwell. Let's not relitigate, but let us learn. Let us be informed by the exact way in which we were screwed in 2020, the waylaying of constitutional norms, the sacrificing of election law on the fly due to COVID, but it didn't necessarily have to be. And absolutely, the name of the game is this happened to us once. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So let's not be fooled twice. Let's not be hijacked twice. Correct. And with that, we'll tie a bow around this hour and move into the next. Let me offer up a couple of things here. I did mention the Caitlyn Jenner issue, and so I'll tell you what. The good news is there's a famous conservative running for governor in California. The tricky news is it's Caitlyn Jenner, and that means there's basic confusion as to gender. And is that disqualifying? Or if you're right on so many other issues, does it just really not matter? And in talking about that, I'll tell you my own personal pronoun policy that I'll share moving into that next hour. That and probably 10 other things as America First continues. Be right back.